Well, very good, Eric. We appreciate your time. Let's start by just want to ask you a general question. You've been around athletics a long time. Have you ever seen or experienced or had to go through anything in managing anything quite like what you have gone through here in the last week and a half or week?
Yeah, I don't know if the term is unprecedented or unrealistic or unbelievable, but without question, there's nothing that's been to this level, both from a national and a statewide basis and impacting all aspects of, you know, our daily life, our school life, our activities, our athletics. It's a completely different experience than any of us have gone through. And so just want to reach out and thank all those that have been a part of the decision-making that happens, you know, from the national level, the health side of things, the leadership, the governors across a number of states, and all the way through to our schools, our superintendents, principals, activities directors, coaches, et cetera. Everybody is involved around the clock in trying to manage new information, new situations, and try to make the best choices that they can as we go forward.
And before we look ahead forward, take me back to last week in the middle of the girls' state tournament when this really kind of started to come to a head in regard to this has become a crisis situation. The decision that you had to make, I know it was a tough one to stop the girls' tournament and then cancel altogether the rest of the boys' tournament. Take me through that process. And is that, in your time, one of the hardest decisions, maybe the hardest decision from a competition standpoint you've had to make?
Yeah, I think as we think about each one of these situations and recognize that our school districts make these decisions on a regular basis about whether or not we should have school and whether or not we should have practice and whether or not we should make that trip in maybe difficult weather or whatever. And so everyone considers, you know, as many aspects as they can. And going back to, I believe it was Wednesday, I had heard that all the Big Ten ADs were all in Indianapolis together, ready to take in the Big Ten basketball tournament. And at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, if I remember correctly, the decision was we're going to move forward with the tournament. And by 3 o'clock, it was the tournament is canceled. And within 24 hours, they canceled all NCAA activities through the spring. And so when you talk about rapidly moving situations, this is in a whole different level than what we've experienced before. And so we had started our tournament on Wednesday and we're heading into Thursday. And based on what was going on, both from the health department giving us information about moving from what they consider containment of identified cases to community mitigation, we know that we had a responsibility within the state here to try to take action. And so on Thursday, we started taking action around limiting number of spectators. And as we went into Friday morning, ready to engage with that, and our schools had done a great job. They'd identified who was going to be at the tournament and all of that continued information that this was accelerating faster than previously had been anticipated. And as we look forward, saying, you know, we also have to think about as we look backwards at our decisions and what's taken place, we had to decide how do we go forward today if we think in 24 hours we might be shut down completely. And with all due respect to the quality of the tournament, that we don't see a way in which we can have a boys basketball day tournament. And so what makes it different now than 4 or 5 days from now? So we made that decision to call off the girls basketball tournament. That impacted kids and teams and parents and spectators across the state, but most specifically in those schools that, you know, had their hearts set on that competition and that opportunity to battle for a state title. And that's just really, really hard, and we recognize that. But there's some advantage to making the decision when we did. We were all still available. We had members in our schools that were all still in session, and we started to see some schools starting to consider or make announcements around closing, and that just becomes really difficult for us to say it's important enough to still go forward with the state tournament when we don't think it's okay to have students in school. And so we made the decision on Friday morning, and it was about 20 after 10 in the morning when we made that decision, and we knew that the ball was supposed to be going up in the air at noon for the first of some semifinals in Class A. And I would say it was one of the most difficult decisions that we've had to make, and also one that just took an incredible amount of consideration of all of the factors involved. And so we made that decision, we know it's difficult, and hard is probably on those students who worked all year long for that opportunity to be at a state tournament, to be battling for a state title, to have one more experience with their teammates and part of what they're doing.
now moving forward with the spring sports, with the governor's proclamation now on Sunday that schools would be closed starting this week. Wednesday was the official date, but I know some schools have already said, hey, we're done for the week. What does that mean now for activities, whether it's sports, whether it's extracurriculars in other areas? What now moving forward, short-term and long-term, is the high school league now kind of looking at in terms of guidelines and limitations?
So we had anticipated that measures were going to be more restrictive for our schools and across the state. And so we felt, as part of the community containment aspect, that we shut down on Friday any scrimmages, contests, competitions between different schools or different programs until April 6th, in essence, to give our schools a chance to prepare for this time that was coming in front of them, knowing that, you know, things were going to continue to evolve, and so they could just say, okay, so we can make a practice schedule and we can move forward with that. So that was our short-term plan, was to buy some time and take some of that day-by-day angst out of it and allow them a chance to prepare, and if we're in school, to continue forward with practices and getting coaches and teams together and work on skills and all that's part of the practice side of things. And then enter the decisions by the governor's office along with support from the Department of Health to close schools beginning on Wednesday. And again, they built in a day or two of lead time for schools to prepare for that. Some may have been caught off guard and didn't have things set up the way that they want. But what we're seeing now is that a number of schools are already making determinations that we're going to be closed starting on Monday. And our goal was to make decisions that would be in alignment with the emergency declaration by the governor that schools are going to close on Wednesday. And so we said no practices of any kind starting on Wednesday, and schools always have the opportunity to be more restrictive, and we've seen that across Twitter and some of the other outlets that they're saying we're going to close down everything beginning on Monday, and we just want to be in alignment with that. And we also heard words from the governor that this time of closure is around preparing plans going forward, and so we're going to be talking about what does this mean longer term, and how do we approach that. We would love for students to be back in schools and be participating, but what we recognize is that this is a longer-term situation than maybe some might have anticipated, and so we're going to prepare for what that could be. And we do have some rules in our bylaws around amount of practice time prior to competition. Typically, that's going to be 5 days in some sports, and it's going to be 10 days in other sports. And so we'll be thinking about that and what that means, and does that mean we need to push out our dates of potential competition, and just knowing that, you know, lots of entities, NCAA included, are saying nothing this spring at all. And we've had lots of messages from families saying, please don't shut everything down yet. Please wait and be patient and at least give us some hope that perhaps we can get something in. And I guess only time will tell when it comes to that.
And then in terms of when you get your guidance or advice or however you want to input from health experts and those kind of things, high school might be different than, say, softball. Say the Gopher softball team might draw 1,200 people, and obviously that's a situation. There might be baseball or softball or track meets in the spring in Minnesota. At smaller schools, it might draw 30 people or 80 people. How do you try to weigh that, or is it an ongoing and developing thing day by day?
I think you're right about the last part. For sure, it's ongoing and developing. One thing that I heard really loud and clear, I was able to attend a conference call with the Department of Health and the Department of Ed on Friday morning at about 8 o'clock in the morning with a number of superintendents in attendance, is, you know, if you can set clear guidelines for all of us, that helps us in making our decisions. We know that we're unique as a district, as a school, whatever the case might be, but when there are blanket rules or expectations that are set out, that helps us a lot in saying this is just consistent for all. And so that's why the stance that we've taken is, you know, during the time of closure that's been set by the governor, we're saying no practice of any kind should happen. And then an additional week right now has been set in place for no contest. And we'll see where we're at in terms of numbers. You know, we're talking about groups of 25 or more should not be gathering. And what does that mean, and how do we handle that? And while we think that athletics and competitions are really important, they are not necessary. And so if they're not necessary, then we probably have to be more restrictive in those things that are not necessary and stay in line with the desire to reduce any kind of community transmission of this significant disease.
And then if all goes well, what would the hope be? That obviously you'd be playing some competitions and have your state tournaments, if not at the normal time, within a couple of weeks of that window?
Yeah, we're going to continue to be responsive to what happens with our member schools. I think one of the things that we always want to remind folks is we're an education-based entity. We're a group of member schools, and our activities, while they're you know, often in evenings and weekends and things like that, we're connected back to schools and school calendars. And so depending on how the end of this school year plays out and what's available in terms of being able to get together with other schools for contests and so on, we're going to be responsive and reactive to that. We're ready to go if we've got venues that can work, and if we're able to get back to competition at some point here in the next couple of months, we'd love to provide that opportunity. We know our students and the parents and families connected to those activities are certainly looking forward to that possibility, and so we'll continue to just be ready to move when we know more.
And I guess bottom line, even however heartbreaking it might be, particularly for seniors, who this for many this is it competition-wise for them here this spring as high school athletes, the bottom line, right, is better safe than sorry here when you're dealing with a crisis that is hitting Minnesota, but it's hitting worldwide here.
Absolutely the case there, Mike. And we're here to support community health, and the messages that are coming from our state level leaders and what they're saying about what we need to be doing. Our goal is to be in concert with all of them and provide the safest possible experience. And we've always been there. We've made rule changes and things like that. We're just in a completely different situation. So we need to be supportive. As you said, we listen to our Department of Health and what they're recommending. We've been recommending the same things and where and when we need to step in and say, here's what we're going to do right now. We're willing to do that.
Very good. We appreciate your time. We'll probably try to touch base again here as this situation continues to develop, but I know we appreciate your time tonight and getting us all the pertinent info.
Absolutely, Mike. Give us a call anytime. We're willing to share what we know at this time, and we'll continue to monitor all the information and the new recommendations and requirements as it goes forward.